Okay.
Okay, it's recording.
Say hello.
So we're recording.
Hi.
Okay, we hear you real good. We got a microphone in front of the phone, so you're piped in over the system, and we should be good to go here.
All right, thank you.
Wow, you guys are super loud. Okay? Super loud, yes.
Wow. I'm hearing you.
You could probably whisper. I'll get rid of the hearing aid, you know what I mean? One or the other.
A little technical delay, but in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hundred and Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please all rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our men and women in the service and our first responders. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and
justice for all.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, first item is presentation of the minutes from the regular meeting on March 18th, 2020. They've been distributed by email. Does anyone have any comments?
I'm good with them.
Motion to accept minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes if nobody else has any changes.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Thank you. With that, we will open the meeting to public comment, limited to agenda items only. If anyone would like to make that motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
At this time, we do have a couple members of the public in the room, but seeing no one move to make a comment. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Okay. Next on the agenda, then, this is a public hearing for ordinance number 2020-03, an ordinance regarding temporary weight restrictions for our new interested parties. This is an ordinance because on Highway 513 in May, the county is still scheduled to close the highway to replace Bridge L6. This ordinance allows us to have a weight restriction for the neighboring roads, the detour roads, so trucks over 15 tons will be excluded from traveling on Hill Road, Little Brook Road, and River Road until the completion of the bridge work is done on 513, and trucks over 15 tons are hereby required to use the designated county truck route. Any comments from the committee before we open to the public hearing?
Yeah, so we'll come out and at the end of April and not be able to go down Route 513.
I'm making a joke. If they stay on schedule.
Yeah. We're not going anywhere anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll be able to maybe on April 30th we can all come back out again, and then we can't drive.
So if there are no comments, is there a motion to open to the public for public hearing on Ordinance 2020-03?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
At this time, if any member of the public has a comment on Ordinance 2020-03.
Is that open?
Okay. Seeing none, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
With that, is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2020-03.
Well, I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2020-03 regarding temporary weight restrictions.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Next, we have the introduction of an ordinance, Ordinance 2020-04, an ordinance authorizing the purchase of a portion of 661 Wood Glen Road, block 36, lot 17. For some time now, we've been in discussions with the owner of that lot, and she has agreed to sell to the township a two-acre parcel which will connect township-owned property off of Wood Glen Road, the so-called Gracie property, the Gracie Trail, with the county-run Mickwin Woods. We've gone through all the procedures. The survey is complete and the like. In order for the township to acquire real property, an ordinance is required, so this is the introduction of this ordinance. The public hearing would be scheduled for April 15th, 2020. Any comments from the committee?
What was the price on that, or was that just a, she was giving it to us? Is it donated? I can't remember.
No, it was the acquisition price is $8,800.
That's right.
Plus we're absorbing some other costs related to the seller's attorney's fee, and the New Jersey Water Supply Authority is paying all of the other closing costs, the survey, the title insurance, and the preliminary assessment work.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to introduce. Public hearing to be April 15th.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. Next item is the 2020 budget introduction. The committee met in a budget workshop in the first week in March with our CFO, went through all of the budget items to have the budget that we would introduce tonight. The first item related to that is resolution number 35-2020 to recognize special items of general revenue. This resolution is to petition the director of the Division of Local Government Services to include special items of revenue in our budget under the heading special items of general revenues anticipated with prior consent, written consent of the director of local government services. This is a number of grants and the like, totaling $218,728. Is there any discussion or motion to approve resolution 35-2020?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 35-2020.
Is it 35 or 36?
I have in front of me 35.
Okay, wait a minute. I might be looking at
30,
the wrong 36
one is the actual budget introduction.
Yeah, 35-2020, special items of general revenue. I'll motion that.
Okay.
And it was $218,728.
Correct.
Yes, that's correct.
There it is. I got it.
A little difficult to hear you, Mike.
Oh, sorry. Is there a second?
I'll
second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is resolution 36-2020, which is the introduction of our budget for the year 2020. The public hearing, this will now be published for the residents, for the public to review. The public hearing for the budget introduction would be also scheduled for April 15th. So just a couple of summary items tonight. Our CFO will expect to attend either by phone or probably by phone April 15th to answer questions. But again, this is the budget that the committee has developed. The a couple of key points. So the total amount of the budget is $6,951,912. Of that amount, the amount to be raised by local property taxes is $2,696,362. That is an increase over the prior year's amount raised by taxes of 1.8%. And I'm highlighting that number rather than the tax rate because we have completed our revaluation for this year, which has increased significantly the average or the assessed value of the entire township. So the comparable tax rates really aren't meaningful. Last year, the tax rate was 0.35379 for the municipal portion. This year, the tax rate is going to be 2.28855. That's per $100 of assessed value. The average, and we'll go into this in more detail next meeting, but the median house value in the township for 2019 was $278,400. That was before the revaluation. That has increased by about 27% to $353,800, which is why then the tax rate has declined so dramatically with just a 1.8 increase in the amount to be raised by the taxes for the year. So the actual change on that median house, which chances are no house actually is the exact median, but that would be an increase of $35.80 for the municipal portion of the residence tax rate. So that would be there would be half of the town that would have a slightly greater increase, half the town that would have a slightly lower or potentially, well, greater or large or smaller, lower increase or greater increase. So $35. So I guess what the key point is that we've been able to hold expenses very much in check so that we're only increasing the amount raised by taxes by 1.8%. Again, there'll be a more complete discussion of this at the next meeting.
So, Mayor, the $35 was per $100,000?
No, that's the actual tax bill. So last year, the median municipal tax the municipal portion of the tax bill, which is about 12% of the total tax, not including the schools and the like, the median house value paid $984.95 in taxes. On our current budget, that median house would pay $1,020.75, if you heard me. So a $35.80 increase, again, for the municipal portion, which is about one-eighth of the total. So residents shouldn't think that's what their total tax would change. We have no idea yet what the schools are doing or the county. Typically, the schools have been increasing by 2%, but we don't know a number yet. So Resolution 36-2020 would introduce this budget that the committee has worked out for a public hearing to be held on April 15th, 2020.
Mike.
Sorry.
Mike, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but actually the public hearing is going to be on May 6th.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Sorry.
So the introduction of the budget resolution 36-2020 for a public hearing on May 6th, 2020. Is there a motion for that resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 36-2020.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. That's the end of our resolutions. We are now on to old business. First item under old business, several meetings ago, we authorized advertising for two new police officers for Lebanon Township. We're pleased to have two candidates that have been recommended by the chief of police, interviewed by the committee. And we have before us motions to appoint new officers. The first officer that we would take up is Mr. Jesse J. Johnson. Would there be a motion or any other discussion? But the motion before us would be to appoint Mr. Jesse J. Johnson as police officer at the Class 8 level of our PBA contract as a police officer in the Township of Lebanon, County of Hunterdon.
I'll make that motion as stated by the mayor.
Second.
And roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Congratulations. With that, we would immediately swear in Mr. Jesse J. Johnson. We will be observing social distancing for everyone, but his wife will hold the Bible.
Oh, you're going to be on this side?
You get in the shot, I'll get out the shot.
I'm responsible.
They get to be together, we get to be part
of it. There you go, you're right.
Just going to be on the photograph.
Yeah, trying to practice social distancing.
So, if you would raise your right hand, repeat after me. I, Jesse J. Johnson.
I, Jesse J. Johnson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established in the United States.
In this state.
In this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform.
All the duties of the police officer.
All the duties of the police officer.
In the Township of Lebanon.
In the Township of Lebanon.
County of Hunterdon.
County of Hunterdon.
State of New Jersey.
State of New Jersey.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations and welcome to Lebanon.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We need bigger voices from above.
You wouldn't mind signing here.
It's invisible ink. How much?
Thank you very much for
working. I'm going to sit again.
So we are very lucky then to have a second candidate that has been recommended by Chief Rautenberg, interviewed by the committee, and the motion before us would now be to appoint Hayden Lechner as a Class 2 Special Police Officer for the Township of Lebanon. The situation is that he's right now qualified as a Class 2 Officer. The intention would be that he completes a course in the coming weeks as soon as available through the county, so that sometime this summer, with everything going on, I don't even want to state a date, but could be as early as June, depending on delays, at which point we would expect to make him a regular officer of the Lebanon Township Police Department. Is there a motion to appoint Hayden Lechner as a Class 2 police officer in Lebanon Township?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Congratulations. We would like to swear in Hayden Lechner at this time.
Would you like to hold the Bible or would you like to not hold the Bible?
Yeah, sure.
So, repeat after me. I'll raise your right hand. I, Hayden Lechner.
I, Hayden Lechner.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And to the governments.
And to the governments.
Established in the United States.
Established in the United States.
In this state.
In this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
And justly.
Perform all the duties of Class 2 police officer.
Perform all the duties of Class 2 police officer.
In the Township of Lebanon.
In the Township of Lebanon.
County of Hunterdon.
County of Hunterdon.
State of New Jersey.
State of New Jersey.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations
to your family.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we need to sign these.
Thanks.
You can keep this.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Scary thought. Hayden could be in your house in an hour on a call. So. That's how quick we do things around.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you.
So, next item is an update on the COVID-19 procedures in the township, and I want to highlight to everyone that we will have an executive session to discuss certain public safety matters under the executive session exclusion. So. If you have, if the committee wants to bring up comments related to public safety, we can do that in executive session. Let me start by, as you know, the municipal building is still closed to the public as the pandemic has hit closer to home and worsened a little bit. We now know that there are 4 cases as of yesterday's release from the Hunterdon County, 4 cases in Lebanon Township. We have gone to an even further staggered employee hours, both for the DPW and for the administrative staff. People are working from home as much as possible. As I'm, talking to the clerk and the administrator and others, the public seems to have taken this pretty well in terms of we're not getting bombarded with. It's even too strong to say bombarded with activity. The phones are very quiet. The emails are very quiet. We're sort of down to what I would call truly essential issues, whether it's tax collecting and a few other things that are pressing matters. So I think operationally the township continues to run. The police have not had any officers quarantined. The police are truly running full time because that's their role in the township. Any comments about the administrative? Any discussion? I don't feel we have any action to take tonight to further change what we're doing administratively, or for the DPW. I don't know if anybody has comments.
Well, I'm a little concerned about the library.
Okay.
That's administrative, and there are some things going on over there that are a little questionable right now.
I do know from talking to the clerk, who supervises the employees there, that they're following all standards available in terms of when they are still operating in terms of allowing patrons to request books, making them available in the parking lot, as I understand it, letting residents return books. When they do return books, I know they're going through the procedures of letting them sit for 72 hours before they handle the books. We also know from the county health department, as one example, I can't quote an exact quote on handling books, but they've been asked about handling mail, and the county has said handling mail is considered a low-risk activity. So the only thing I would say about what's happening at the library is that all steps are being taken to socially distance, to sanitize, to clean, to let things rest, and I do believe there's an element of our township, residents in our township, who feel very appreciative for the ability to keep working with the library. So I don't know what other comments you might want to make.
What is the 72 hours? Where did that rule come from?
I don't know that it's a rule, but it's general guidance that we've been hearing. That's what I say. I can't quote the county health department for how to handle books, but I believe it's widely disseminated. For example, an Amazon cardboard box you're supposed to leave for 24 hours. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the librarian has researched and they're following the guidelines that are available for how long the virus lives on surfaces.
Well, I don't know, because today they had that cruise ship come in and they're saying they found the virus on things 28 days later.
Yeah, obviously the science.
It's a moving target. I'm
absolutely
not a doctor. I'm just saying. I just would like to know that the employees are safe. I'm not as much worried. Well, you know, it depends on if they are issuing books to people, too, after they bring them in and they sit there for 72 hours. Are they really safe?
As you said, it's a moving target. With everything in the township, we're reevaluating as we get guidance. You also said none of us are doctors. Well, you said you're not a doctor. I'd agree. None of us are doctors, so we're really takers of the guidance that we're getting and trying to balance protection of the employees, protection of the public, with meeting needs that we can.
So when they take the books in through the book drop, how is it happen? What's happening? Is somebody wearing a mask? Are they wearing gloves?
Bev, you're actually liaison to the library, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I've heard a couple of things, though. I'm hearing two different things, and I just want to make sure that you know what's going on, because you're saying following all procedures.
I'm suggesting maybe if you're hearing different things, maybe you should... maybe you should talk with Karen and the librarian and bring us back, because I can't tell you what you're hearing and what the details are. I don't think we can.
Karen, what is the procedure? What are you hearing?
I don't know technologically.
We are in the municipal office when it comes to mail and applications and items like that. We have to handle that in the same regard that the books are being handled.
Okay, do you know what's going on with the books? Like, have you talked to Carla?
Yes, I've had detailed conversations with Carla about it, and she assures me that she feels it's a service to the public with the children being off from school and not being able to maybe be out and about as much as they would like. She feels that the residents really appreciate the option to come in and get books for the kids. They're doing it via email and telephone. Very little interaction. It's a drop-off pickup situation. And she said when the books come in, they sit for a few days in the library before they're handled and put back on the shelf. So, I mean, we can practice as much as we can to be safe and cautious, but she truly feels, because I gave her the option to close if she felt that that would be the best for her, you know, and the staff, and she felt that it was a service that they can do safely. Each employee has their own phone. No one's, using multiple phones. She's using the best portion that she can. The only other option would be to tell her to close completely, but she feels that it's a benefit to the taxpayers.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have any opinion on this?
Well, I mean, we haven't stopped deliveries of food and product at bail. I mean, and so I don't see it any differently. I'll say the same thing everybody else said. I'm not a doctor, but we have letter carriers who are visiting multiple residences every day, going from one place to another. And unless and until that changes, I have no science to refute it. So,
yeah, I think it's a judgment call, and I think Karen, the clerk, stated it correctly. We can either shut it down or we can let follow the best science that we can find to guide us. And quite frankly, I commend the librarian. I mean, we have given all the employees the option that if they think it's too dangerous or they feel, for whatever reason, their personal situation, they don't want to take any risk, and the library staff is willing to follow guidance that they can to keep meeting the public needs. I actually commend them for that.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know why the county shut theirs down and everybody else has shut theirs down, and I don't agree with you. Well, you saw my letter probably. It came out late today, but I stated my piece, and you can do what you want.
Okay. any other discussion related to administration? Or Bev, anything you want to add to DPW as liaison to that?
No, I talked to Warren today, and he said things are fine. He hasn't gotten any reports of anybody being ill or anything, and they're just, you know, the blacktop thing. They're waiting to be able to do the bid for when people come back and they can start that work. So it's just fine, business as usual. I know you spoke with him as well.
Yeah, I happen to see
him. I don't want to bombard him where you're talking to him, I'm talking to him, everybody's calling him. So I just kind of said, look, if you need me, just give me a call. But I checked in today for 5 minutes.
Yeah, as I understand, it's a very good time. It's kind of a lucky time of year where the brush isn't growing, the grass is going to start needing mowing, but you know, there are no storms, no winter issues, so we kind of lucked out to be able to stagger the crews and be ready. Everyone's on standby if something comes up, but we're ready there. So I think the only other, Bev, you asked us to discuss the park a little bit further. Again, I think...
Right, but back to the library. I just want to ask Matt one question. If one of the people at the library gets anything, can they come back and say, do they have a case that it would be caused by Lebanon Township?
Is that a
public... Or is this something they made the decision on their own?
Well, I'll speak in generalities in open session and say that the only employees, municipal employees that have airborne pathogen, quote, coverage and recourse are first responders. That was done by new law within the last year where they're presumed to, because of the nature of their work, they're presumed to have gotten it that way. So as of everything that anybody's telling me right here tonight, the way things are being handled, the fact that social distancing and, you know, spread of the workforce and everything, that the answer is no. You know, so if the facts should change, we could certainly would want to look at it again. But now the only ones in line for that, and it's because of the nature of their work, are any first responders.
Okay.
So then on the park, I'd like to just start with the statement that I'm hearing a lot, which is there is no one-size-fits-all solution. Urban areas have great pressure on their parks, and they're closing their parks. Areas out here, and there was a call with the state a few days ago, or maybe it was late last week, where they clearly stated the state has not mandated closures of parks because a park in Hoboken is completely different than a park in Hunterdon County. And even within Hunterdon County, you know, a park in Highbridge has a lot more residents that would congregate closely. There was also discussion, I think this is kind of good to inform us all as well. There was a discussion of people congregating at the access points to the Columbia Trail. You know, the Columbia Trail goes for miles. People could spread out, but there's an access point problem. Is actually one of the other mayors who pointed out, if we close things like the Columbia Trail, we're going to push people from the county park trail, where it's a safe off-road situation, to walking on the roads. I think we're all seeing a lot more people walking on the roads, which creates pedestrian problems, and I believe one of the neighboring towns actually had a pedestrian issue related to people walking on the roads. So, you know, voicing my personal view, I think it's not possible to tell people to sit at home for the next 4 weeks when the sun is shining. I think they're going to come out. I've talked every other day or so with our police chief to ask, what do you see at the park? He has instructed his officers that if he sees more than 10 people on the basketball court, for example, to tell them to disperse. What we're seeing is sort of two-on-two here or there. We don't know if they're family members, but everyone is educated to socially distance, to monitor their interaction. And personally, I think, you know, rather than force people out of our park into the woods and other places and onto the roads, I'm not seeing any problem in our park. You know,
nobody's saying close the park. What I'm saying is rope off the playground and close the basketball courts, because that's just following what the county's doing, and I'm not saying we have to do it in lockstep, but we are being watched, and I just think that it... You know, there's a lot of plastic toys and things in that park, and there were kids there today playing on that, and nobody's there wiping them down. The basketball situation is close contact. To me, you're not following social distancing if you're out there playing basketball. You can't. And the park, again, the playground area, I stated my case. I would like to take a roll call vote on who would like to close the park, the playground area, and the basketball courts tonight.
Okay, the way we do that is for someone to make a motion. Are you making
right.
a motion?
That's my motion. I would like to make a motion to put signage, at least. Do something.
Okay.
Right now, you saw the pictures that I have there. The pictures say open dawn until dusk at the park, and the door is open on the basketball court. There's no signage. And I know that Jamie read me an email that he was going to put on our website, and when I saw it on the website, it's very watered down from the original email. So I called him about it, and he said it's a committee decision. So yes. I would like to make a motion that we decide as a committee, are we going to secure the playground area and the basketball courts? Or I don't know if you want to just put signage up, whatever you want the motion to be. I just think right now it's wide open.
There is signage up already.
I didn't see any signage. Where is it?
It's on the I gave it to Karen to give to Kim to put it on the. I guess you have a board out there.
There's at the entrance to the park. I mean, I have to admit I didn't go out there to see it, but there's no there's I don't think there's any dispute about putting educational signage up to encourage social distancing. And like I think we decided that last meeting. I thought.
Then that's not what I'm looking for. If it's signage on social distancing, I'm talking signage that says the park, the playground area is temporarily closed and the basketball courts are temporarily closed. That's my motion for a vote.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor.
So are we going to station a police officer there?
No.
Then how are we going to enforce it?
It's going to be monitored.
By who?
Whoever. The police are right there. They
That's
can go
thing.
Through
so
and
we're
do a drive-through.
Station a police officer there.
Do they monitor it when people are, you know, going up the street at the same time too? You can't be everywhere, but I mean, come on.
Exactly, come on.
It's not worth. You don't want to take a vote. That's what you didn't want to say.
Oh, I have no problem saying no. I think.
Well,
it's,
then
I
say, then let's take the vote and get it over with. I stated my piece. I just feel that. The resident safety, yes, people have to take personal responsibility, but at the same time, I think we have to also step up to help our situation, to protect the municipal corporation from litigation and to protect the people as best we can and let them know that these areas are real. I mean, there's nobody wiping down the plastic. We don't have the people to go there and wipe down the plastic parts. And you're not social distancing when you're playing basketball. So to me, this is a common sense vote.
I'll second it.
Okay, so now there's a second roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
No. Okay, so we've had a roll call vote. Any other COVID-19 update discussions?
I have a question for Bev. Do we want to, should we go in there and collect all the toys out? I have no problem going there and collecting all the toys and keeping them somewhere.
No, you do what you want to do. We took our
vote. I'm just asking a question if that would as far as that's one of the points you brought up. You know, if we don't close it, because we can't close it. I don't see practically how we can close it.
You put tape around it, yellow tape.
Okay.
I don't know if you
Union Township ordered snow fencing. I'm not telling you to do that. You know, I just think you put a little tape around the temporarily closed due to the COVID-19 virus.
I drove past Glen Gardner yesterday, and there was kids playing on theirs with all the tape on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. Well, at least the township is protected at that point.
Okay. Is there a new motion in front of us? Because I think we had a vote on that.
Mark, wait a minute. With the plastic, if you take the plastic out of there, you have no playground, so you don't have to worry about anything anyway. Then it's just open space. We're not going to do that. It's only temporary anyway.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, if there's no other COVID updates.
I do have a brief report from the fire department, whether you want to do it under new business or here.
Let's do it under.
It came late today. I'm just going to read the letter as it came to me. This is... good afternoon to the Township Committee. This is from our Chief, Rob Peck. The Fire Department has encountered potential cases of COVID-19 patients, but at this time I am pleased to announce we have yet to hear back a positive test result on those transportations they did. He goes on to say a couple of days ago we were holding at zero, now we're at four. To shed some light on what members have been dealing with and also doing, each EMS transport, our members utilized their PPE as outlined in our policies, which are pretty much in line with the CDC guidelines. Any potential case of COVID-19, the members decon the ambulance at the hospital, and I also request a second crew to assist with a second decon period while the primary crew showers and washes their uniforms. That second decon is done, I believe, here when it gets back. It's a second level of precaution that I personally feel is important. As of now, no one has felt they have been exposed to COVID-19 to the extent of requiring quarantine. During the week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have added a second basic life-saving crew to staff the second apparatus and ambulance. This was to help aid the primary ambulance in the event we had a spike in calls due to the current pandemic we are all experiencing. Just yesterday, on March 31st, 2020, the fire department responded to four calls. Two calls were actually simultaneously with each other. This is why the second ambulance is key. We were able to field a second call without a delay in response. The first call was a serious motor vehicle accident on 513, where we had to extradite the driver with our rescue equipment. We responded with a number of members and apparatus. Approximately 12 members total responded. The second call that was dispatched was for a medical issue, which was covered by a second ambulance. While we see the COVID cases rising in the state and also locally in town, we could expect to see more calls more frequently. Having the second ambulance available will play a key role in covering the rising calls. We are all aware of the severity of the virus. Response time for these people is important. He goes on to say, in the month of March, we responded to 74 calls, combination of fire and EMS. That's an average of at least two calls per day. Total man hours invested on just emergency incidents is over 220 hours. This does not include drills, meetings, etc. The man hours also include volunteers and their time spent on incidents during the month of March. The department thanks the committee for their continued support. We also thank the OEM coordinator for his assistance during the pandemic. Stay safe. I think we all tip our hats to this crew.
Absolutely.
They're working hard.
Absolutely. And I would also just like to say that I think we got very lucky by ramping up our own
absolutely
staffed EMS. I can only imagine the discussions. If we were going to a third town to try to say, what are you doing in our town? Here we've got it fully staffed with our own volunteer fire department and paid staff. I think we got very lucky here.
I also asked Rob the question, how do the members and the responding members feel? Are they being protected? And they absolutely feel at the hospital and what they have. They are completely protected as of now, as long as the quantities of their PPE holds out, which I think Joe has put in a request for more and will continue to do that. But they feel secure in doing their tasks and protecting the township. Very important.
Yep. Yeah, excellent. Our congratulations and thanks to our EMS.
Absolutely.
Any other discussion before we go to the administrator's update?
Well, I truly don't have that much, but I'd like to just elaborate on, of course, I can't have harassment training right now or staff meetings due to the social distancing. But I will say this, that myself, the mayor, and as well as Karen, this pandemic is something that no one's ever experienced before. In these types of situations, we will continue to reevaluate the situation because it could change, and we've been doing that. I mean, 1 week we decided this schedule would work, but as the pandemic got greater and greater, we changed things around. So there's only really there's hardly any contact between any staff members, so we're really practicing the social distancing.
Tell me what I'm looking at.
Excuse me?
I think you're okay.
All right. I can elaborate on the parks. What I did put in there is the fact, and I'll read it, and I did this for a reason, and I didn't feel it was my decision to make that, to put the tape in or anything like that. Not that I'm for it or against it, but I truly do feel this way. This is going to change as time goes on. You might later on say, hey, you know what? We will tape it off. And that's why I put in there so the residents could see it. The township will continue to reevaluate the use of its parks and may modify this policy in accordance with the current executive orders. And basically what that means is that the orders could change. The order might come down, we might want to close all our parks, or we might want to have more social distancing. But in the meantime, I'm just trying to follow the executive order because we can't override the governor's executive order on certain things. So that's why I put that in there to modify. That's also for staff as well, because we still have to run the town. And I think we've been doing a really good job. I have to say, you know, I really am pleased the way Lebanon Township has handled with their workers and the staff. I don't think the workers feel, you know, that you've impeded them in any way. And also talk on behalf of the DPW because, you know, we still got to abide by the contracts and how they and they're worded. So that's really all I have for tonight. And I will continue to monitor the situation as time goes on. And hopefully, and eventually, you know, I'm sure we can get back to some normalcy.
I'm going to add one other thing from the historians. I got a call, an email from the vice chair that they wanted to do a meeting with Zoom. And I told them that I didn't see a problem with it. However, everyone would have to have the ability to use Zoom so that no member was left out, and then they could do a business meeting if they wanted to, as long as all had the same opportunity. After I said that, this morning I read an article about the FBI and Zoom boom. I guess it's very, you can get cybersecurity stealing your stuff very easily. So I forwarded that to Lori just to say, you know what, make sure you know what you're getting into, because I certainly don't know what that is, but they were gearing up to do it, so I just sent them over the link to see if they could look into it and find things out. But apparently you know more about it.
Yeah, what's basically happened with Zoom, and I think the situations and the problem that townships are going to have is the fact that in order for it to not hacked, because you don't hack it, because there's a passcode that's given out, but one of the challenges that townships are going to have is the fact that, okay, anybody can go on that account because you have to notice it according to, you know, OPM, Open Public Meetings Act. You have to notice it. And when you notice it, you got to put the passcode in. And that would be the only way to have a safe way where people couldn't come in. Well, you could have ghost calls coming in. You could have people on the audio just saying anything they want. And I think that's one thing that not just Zoom. It's all types of companies that do this. So, I mean, I prefer audio because if you have the visual, you get to see some things you really don't want to see. And that's one of the problems they're going to have with this type of social interaction with, you know, this type of, meetings.
Yeah.
And I think.
So I guess what I'm looking for is maybe a direction from the committee, because I had told them that, you know, this is something that I didn't see a problem with, but if it is a problem, and Matt, you can jump in here whenever you want. Their meeting is until the following Thursday, virtual. If it's something that we don't think that should be done, I'll gladly respond back to them to say, listen, we reviewed it, and it's just not acceptable at this time.
My question would be then, is are their meetings open to the public?
They have to be, yeah.
Yes.
Well, some, I know, because it's...
They're open to the public, but the ones we're talking about aren't constrained by the Open Public Meetings.
That's what I was going to, right.
It's not a statutory board. So this would differ if it were a statutory board, if it's the township committee, if it's land use board, whereas the fully advisory panels, let's say, I still would recommend that, as the administrator said, that there be an ability to get in. We all know it's not easy, and the more sophisticated the technology seems to leave a larger and larger portion of the public out. So if they're getting together to they're not getting together to spend money or bind the township, so to speak, they're not under the same constraints we
right.
are.
No.
I can't speak to the technology. We're yeah. trying everything. I mean, I've been through it all, the Facebook Live, Zoom, these phone calls. They all have their ups and downs. I mean, I've been in a meeting where a person has stood at the back and FaceTimed it. And, you know, obviously that's fraught with all kind of
so
issues.
So if I reach back to them and said, make sure you educate yourself on this, it's something they could probably do?
Yeah, they could probably convene. And I would just, like I said, I'd caution them to make it as easily accessible as possible. And I certainly am not an expert in that. But like I said,
okay,
our
that's good information.
The higher you increase it, the harder you make it for a certain portion of participants.
Okay.
i.e. myself.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. So there's no new business on the agenda unless anyone has any new business. That takes us to presentation of vouchers. I will start. I've got for our auditor, Ardito, the third annual installment payment, $7,681. For our tax appeal attorney, DeFrancesco Bateman, total of $1,344.56. And for our JCP&L master account, our electric bill, $1,053.50.
I have none that qualify.
I also have none that qualify.
And we've taken care of yours, Bev and Brian. So that takes us to the total voucher list, which I misplaced.
Which is $17,697.53.
Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Then correspondence. Before we go to the curator's report, there was a Zoom event sponsored by the historians last weekend. They had originally scheduled for David Overraker, one of the historians, to do a seminar, in-person seminar, about researching your home. They transferred that over and advertised that on video dial-ins, and so you could get his presentation on video and participate. I'm told he had 16 participants and that it was very, very well received.
Great.
So
they have used it.
They've got tech people over there. They have known it.
All right.
I think in our packet we have the curator's report.
I want to just make a point. You know, the 100-year celebration of the woman's suffrage is an all-year event, and they've been planning for a year in last hurrah. I don't know if you all saw this, but interestingly enough is they've come up with a new final get-together, which is going to be a suffrage tea party, and the date right now is October 3rd from 1 to 3:30, featuring both Linda Barth giving her presentation, and as well, they're going to have the New Jersey governor, Christy Todd Whitman, there. The first and only female governor of our state will be speaking there. So you ought to highlight that in your calendars. That's all I have to offer.
No other correspondence? Anything from anyone else? With that, we would offer public comment. Is there a motion to open a public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Can we hit star 5?
All participants are muted. All participants are unmuted.
So if any member of the public who's dialed in wants to make a public comment, please identify yourself. Hearing none.
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Brian.
All participants are muted. And
Brian.
They can unmute themselves.
Brian.
I guess we had a technical issue there.
He's still showing. Yeah. I think.
But he had a technical issue.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so
Brian.
I guess Brian will abstain if we can't hear him or for you, whatever technical issue.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Yes.
Yes. That was to close public comment. So now we will go into executive session. That would be Resolution 37-2020 to discuss a matter of public safety. Is there a motion for Resolution 37-2020?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And Brian abstains.
You want to take a minute, see if we can reach him?
He's on. It's still showing us connected to him.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does he become, an abstention?
I think so, whatever.